Open your Bible this evening, please, to the first epistle of John, chapter 1. We're just going to start there this evening in our study and begin at that point, and then we will look very quickly at some other passages. Several weeks ago, when I began and taught the series of messages on the Beatitudes, I received an unusually large number of letters concerning the teaching of the Beatitudes. Almost every one of the letters principally was an inquiry. How does a Christian experience within one's own personality the growth and the development of traits like those the Lord described? That's a very important question. How does God intend us, or how does He enable us to grow and to develop these kinds of traits in our character and life? In addition to the letters, and there were several from some of you, I had quite a large number of people also who asked me basically the same question in the halls of the church and after the services on Sunday morning. A number of people approached me at various times and asked the very same question: how can a person begin to grow and to develop these kinds of qualities in one's life? The Bible in various parts gives to us, sprinkled here and there, some principles of growth and development. In the first message that I brought to the church in this way about 3 weeks ago, we looked at the first of those principles, the one that is outlined for us here in John's first letter, chapter 1. I'm going to simply have us look at it briefly this evening before we continue to look tonight at two or three other of the principles which are given to us in the Scripture. The principle that is outlined for us in the first chapter of John is called the principle of walking in the light. This principle is stated in the Scriptures more than one place. It is the principle, you may remember, we discussed, which is that method by which a Christian, a growing person, is aware of and acknowledges to God and to himself his areas of weakness. And that is a constantly growing thing. It is the principle described in the 9th verse as the principle of confession. Some Christian people, I think, have had not a completely biblical understanding of the doctrine of confession. The understanding that has sometimes been presented is an understanding in which a Christian is somehow to be sure to keep a record of each of his times of failing, and having kept a careful notation or record, at some point to be sure to mention those in prayer. That seems, I think, to be an accurate expression or explanation of the understanding that has sometimes been presented of what the Bible means by confession. Be sure to remember each time that you have failed. Or, if even better than that, every time you have failed, be sure at that moment to pray about it. It is this kind of a concept that has sometimes been presented as the biblical teaching of confession. I think that that is really not the full-orbed or complete picture. The real picture presented to us in the Scripture is this principle of walking in the light. That is, it is the principle by which an individual acknowledges to himself and to the Lord his areas of weakness and need. It is not always in a specific act of prayer as such. It may be simply in his own conscious acknowledgement to God of his need. And this is a growing thing. None of us is aware there are whole areas of our lives that are still in the darkness, and God desires continually to be bringing new areas of our lives into the light. Because the first step in growth, the first step in development, always is this awareness and acknowledgement. Oh God, that is an area where I fail. That is an area where I lack. That is an area of need. And so it is that in the course of one's life daily, as one lives his daily life, there may be many times during the course of a day or of a week in which that need expresses itself or that weakness manifests itself. And in those times when that area of need or weakness manifests itself, the Christian has a full awareness and an acknowledgement that that is an area of lack in his life. And God seeks slowly and constantly to bring new little bits of our lives into the light, to make us continuously and increasingly aware of our needs. None of us could quite bear if God shone his light upon us fully. It would be more than any of us is able to receive. To become fully aware all at one time of all of that we are, to become totally at once conscious of our full condition, would be more than any one of us could bear. It would really just crush us. And so the Lord seeks to bring little by little new parts of ourselves out into the light and to make us aware and to cause us to acknowledge our need and our weakness. That is the principle of walking in the light, which is described for us in this opening chapter of John's epistle. This is the way that God brings about change in people's personalities and lives. It is one of the means that he uses to develop us. For example, in teaching the Beatitudes, I spoke at a certain point on one of the Beatitudes, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." And you may remember that in teaching that Beatitude, I brought out what I understand the Scriptures to mean by that. It is a reference to a person who is not strongly self-willed, who does not have that great spirit that refuses to submit. But rather, it is a description of a person whose spirit is able to yield and to be submissible. The first step in developing that quality of personality is the principle of walking in the light, in which I enter into an awareness that I am not poor in spirit, that in fact I am a self-willed person. And entering into that and really acknowledging it to the Lord and acknowledging it to myself is what the Bible means by walking in the light and confessing our sin. And that becomes one of the principles by which God starts to work in the life to change and to develop people. Now, this principle is stated for us in the Scriptures more than once. I will, in addition to the passage in 1 John, direct your attention also to the repetition of the principle in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we will read in that 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians at verse 28 and then at verses 31 and 32. If you will put these words of Paul's in their context, you will know that in this 11th chapter he is referring to some of the great problems that existed among the people of the church at Corinth. And the problems that he has mentioned in this chapter are problems like these. There was a self-willfulness. There were some who were able to come and to enjoy at the Lord's table ahead of time in the love feast, to enjoy a very ample and not only a very ample, but really to overindulge in a dinner, a meal that was very adequate, but they cared little about others among them who were poor or for other reasons came to the agape, the love feast, and really did not have enough to eat. There were others who at the Lord's table actually took that which was used in the Lord's Supper ahead of time and became drunk on it. There were others who were divided and segregating themselves in their own little circles and their own little cliques. And so Paul finally is saying here, if you will recall it, verse 28, before we come to the Lord's table, here is the principle. But let a person examine oneself, and then eat of the bread and drink of the cup. That's the principle of walking in the light. He calls us, before we partake of the Lord's table, of the communion service, he calls upon each of us to have some time in which we reflect upon our lives and persons, and have a time of examining ourselves to acknowledge, prior to partaking of the communion, areas of need that become obvious to us and areas of weakness within ourselves. And then he continues at verse 31. But if we judged ourselves rightly, to judge ourselves rightly does not have in the New Testament text the sense of judging ourselves in the sense of condemnation, in the sense of rejection. The Greek word for judge ourselves is from the word katisis, which simply means to pass a verdict. It simply means to say, or to know, or to acknowledge, that is a problem. I judge it. I acknowledge it. I give the verdict upon it. That is an area where I fail. If we judged ourselves rightly, he writes in the 31st verse, as we examine ourselves, if we, in examining ourselves, would correctly and rightly come to know and to pass a verdict, there is an area where I fail. Then, he continues to say, we would not be judged. But when we who are Christians are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord in order that we may not be condemned with the world. So the principle here is that if a Christian is walking in the light, if he is genuinely acknowledging his need and honestly aware of and confessing his areas of failure or those that are known to him, bringing them out so that the light makes them obvious and clear to him, then God does not bring upon him the discipline intended to make him aware of those needs. But if the Christian does not go through this process of walking in the light, God has different ways of disciplining us to make us knowledgeable of our areas of need. That is why in the scriptures we often read that God brings tests and trials into the life of his people, as sometimes as discipline, because those tests and trials that he sometimes brings into the life as discipline are intended to make us come to acknowledge our weakness and our need. And that's why sometimes you will find this very shocking experience. The Lord enables you to get into a new circumstance, something that you have not previously really been exposed to experience. And in that new experience, which is very painful, that new experience that is very unpleasant, that new experience that really does hurt, to your shock, you discover some things about yourself that previously you had never realized. That is the principle of walking in the light, of confessing. Now, we're going to look this evening at least one other of these principles, and when we do so, we will find in the same passage at which we're going to look now that not only is another principle given to us there, but also this principle that I have been talking about is repeated for us again. So we turn in our New Testaments to the book of Philippians, chapter 3, and we will read in these last moments verses 12 through 15 of Philippians chapter 3. You may want to note as we begin to read at the 12th verse that Paul here, the human author of this letter, begins obviously by a statement that reflects the first principle I have mentioned, the one of walking in the light. Because he begins this paragraph or this sentence with this statement, "Not that I have already obtained or have already become perfect." When I have taught in our church on previous occasions, although it now has been a matter of more than 3 or 4 years since I taught on this last, I pointed out to you that the word perfect in the 12th verse is the word in the text of the New Testament that means fully developed or mature. It is not the word that would be used to indicate sinlessness or perfection. Although, obviously, we know from other passages that Paul also would acknowledge that he is not sinless. And from other letters that he wrote and other words that he wrote, we know he also acknowledged that he had not achieved perfection. But here at this place, he is not writing about that. He uses the word here in which he is saying, the Apostle Paul is saying, not that I have reached maturity, not that I have reached full development. That may surprise some of us because we understand Paul to be something of an example. We would look at Paul the Apostle as a man of God who had grown and developed and matured in many, many ways. And what he is saying here is not simply a matter of modesty or false modesty. What he is stating here is a genuine fact. He said, "I want you to know I have not achieved maturity. I have not reached full development." So he already is beginning with the principle of walking in the light. Paul apparently is aware of areas of his own life where he is still immature. He must be thinking when he writes this of particular parts of his nature which he knows are still very, very undeveloped. So he begins with that statement of walking in the light, not that I have already obtained or have already become fully developed or mature. Now, he gives to us in a, I think, a special way the second principle that God uses in developing traits within our lives. "But I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what led, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." The second principle the one that the Apostle Paul is describing for us here is the principle of identifying with the goal, identifying with the ideal. He said, "There I see the goal. I press toward it in order that I may, forgetting what is behind and reaching on to that which is before me, I press on toward the goal." This is the principle in the New Testament of identifying with the ideal. That is, every Christian needs to increasingly have clear in his or her mind certain of the traits and certain of the qualities which the Lord has shown him he desires in his life. That's the reason that I went through the Beatitudes. It seems important to me that Christian people know what are the traits that are important. If one is going to develop, if one is going to grow, if one is going to mature, then one must have very clearly identified in his thinking what is the goal toward which I am seeking to grow. What kind of personality does God want me to have? He wants me to have this trait of being an unassuming person, not being very filled with awareness of things about myself, meekness. I need to have that. I need to have that clearly in my thinking. I need over and over again and constantly to have that trait as an ideal that God desires. Paul is setting that principle before us, and I just selected one of the Beatitudes. God wants me also to be a kind of person who mourns. As we studied in the course of the Beatitudes, you will remember we found that that means a person who really feels other people's needs and so acknowledges and identifies with other people in their hurts and disappointments and failures and struggles that we experience a sense of mourning with those who mourn. God wants me to be a sensitive person. God wants me to be a person who shows mercy. God wants me to be a person who can submit to others, and so on. And the principle then that is given to us in this and other passages is the principle of having clearly in our minds those qualities and those traits toward which God is wanting us to move and which He is wanting us to develop. That's the second principle of growth in the Scriptures. In the Scriptures there are, to my knowledge, two other major principles, and there may be more, of course, but I am aware of two other great principles that God employs in personal development. But let's first of all keep these two before us. Walking in the light, being as aware as God can help me to be of my areas of failure and sin and weakness, and acknowledging them and letting God bring new little areas of my life out into the light so that I can confess them in acknowledgement to Him. And secondly, holding before me the goal, the ideal. Those are the ways, two of the ways He brings growth. Let us ask His blessing upon the study of Scripture this evening. Our Father, our prayer tonight is that in spite of all of our very great human weaknesses and limitations, you will take the Holy Scripture and your Word and wonderfully and graciously bring to us through it food and edification and strengthening and maturing and developing. And as we have prayed so many times, we pray again, cease working to develop us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are dismissed.